Blog Talk Radio.
Where's Joe?
Yeah, never mind what we're playing. Never mind what we're playing. You'll find out. Good evening.
I'll find out.
Welcome to Erie House Radio. We're giddy and full of, what is that chemical in turkey? I don't know what it's called.
Mutt.
That makes you sleepy
and
lucky. Mutt. Tryptophan or something. Yeah, tryptophan.
Tryptosnephophan, yeah. Love that stuff.
Snuffle up, I guess. Oh, I've been drowsy all day,
that
let
too.
Me tell you. Been drowsy all day. Good evening. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. And welcome to Erie House Oldie Timey Radio. I am Dale K. Yep, and I'm from Spook Show.
Here along with
Dave Binkley, and I'm from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and we're here along with...
It is I, Guy the Gold, dying on a Black Friday. That's what I'm doing.
Wait, I thought you said it was Monday.
It's Black Monday. Dying on a Black Monday. There we go, yeah.
No. There is not going to be any dying here tonight. You did not give notice. You have to give 2 weeks notice if you plan on croaking.
That's right.
Yeah.
And find a replacement. And find a replacement for yourself.
I sent in an email 3 weeks ago. You guys had it behind. Blah, blah. What the?
All right.
It was doctor approved and everything.
Oh, okay. The doctor approved.
Okay.
Yes.
Doctor approved death.
Yes.
I have
a
doctor.
Sign Dr.
Mom,
K.
If that means anything. Yeah.
Sign Dr. K for Kevorkian. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Hey, don't tell me my family secrets there now. And
That's a pretty important note. He's dead.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, everyone needs an exit strategy. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, God.
What?
There is a cheery outlook, ain't it? Good evening.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Now that we've cheered you up, happy Thanksgiving. And so pleased that you can spend the holidays with us. Fogs Bane, good old Bob in the chat. Welcome, welcome.
I'm bewildered. Okay.
You're bewildered, but are you befuddled?
I am. I am bewildered, befuddled, and 10 other words that start with the letter B.
Used?
They're all verbs. Figure it out.
Goody gum drops. We got a lot of radio tonight. Kind of on the comical end tonight, huh, Dave?
Yeah, a little bit of fun tonight for the holiday. Tomorrow we have more drama coming in, but tonight it's comedy.
Yeah, we have Jack Carson, Lum and Abner. I want to call him Loom now. I don't know why I want to call him Loom.
I didn't see that. Wait a second, is there an E on there? I didn't see what.
Loom.
There's a Bosch on Loom. Is that them?
Yeah.
Bosch
and Boynes and Allen too.
Boynes and Allen. Yep.
Boynes and Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Of which I can't.
From early radio to interesting. You know, a couple of things interesting here. One that Lum and Abner.
Oh.
It was okay, but it was a 15-minute Monday through Friday type deal, and it was okay, but it's not that great. But it, in the late 1940s, like Amos and Andy, it had turned into a half-hour, basically sitcom with an audience. And Charlie Weaver became one of the regulars. I'm not sure whether he's in on this one tonight or not, but it became a sitcom with an audience and all kinds of hilarity, better writers. And then Jack Carson, who was not a comedian, but kind of a comedic actor, but he also, I've seen him do some drama things too. So, but this is kind of a sitcom for him. So all kinds of fun tonight.
Yep. All Thanksgiving related. Thanks to the careful plotting and scheming of my dear friend, Dave Binkley. And yours.
Never hoited a bum.
Never hoited of him.
Never hoited a bum, yeah.
Been around.
You need better friends, man. You need better friends.
Well, he certainly does. There's that Dale K guy. Forget it. Anywho, a whole lot of radio, I guess.
Yes.
I'm not familiar that familiar with Jack Carson. I like Lum and Abner, or Loom, if you've just joined us. And of course, everybody
Jack Carson,
knows.
He went and did a lot of television things going into the 60s and maybe early 70s. I'll have to look up some things that he did do, but yeah.
I wonder if he's the Jack Carson I'm thinking of.
Probably.
Had a receding hairline.
Oh, wait. I'm thinking of Jack Carter. Who is Jack Carson?
Yeah, that is Jack Carter. No, this is Jack Carson.
Yeah, I was thinking of Jack Carter. Yeah.
Yeah, I was too. That's the guy I was thinking of, Jack Carter.
I have no idea who Jack Carson is. Oh, well, we're about to find out. Okay. Yeah. He was
Is he related to a Johnny?
No.
No.
Although a nickname for Johnny is Jack. Coincidence? Maybe not.
Jack Carson. Yeah.
Okay.
He was in a lot of movies. He died in 63, so he certainly wasn't Jack Carter, who I was thinking about. But yeah, looking at some of the things that he did, a lot of television. He did the Bus Stop TV series, United States Steel Hour. He did an episode of Alfred Hitchcock Presents, but who didn't? Let's see, The Chevy Show, Dinah Shore Chevy Show, New Comedy Showcase, Zane Grey Theater, Bramble Bush, Star Time. Where's all the movies that said he was in? Come on, look at here. A Playhouse 90. He was in the movie, looks like the movie, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
No.
He was, get down here.
He was the cat.
Movie Bottom of the Bottle. Let's see, the movie Ain't Misbehaving. The movie Fort. He was in that, yeah. He had a Jack Carson show on television. So he did the Good Humor Man movie, Mr. Universe the movie, The Groom Wore Spurs, My Dream Is Yours. So You Want to Be in Pictures. There's a lot of movies he did. I haven't heard of a good many of them. But anyway, he was in the movie version of Arsenic and Old Lace. He was one of the characters in that. So,
all right. Well, Mildred, curiosity has peaked. We might as well start with Jack Carson tonight.
We could do that.
It's a little episode entitled Thanksgiving Dinner. Originally broadcast
November 27, 1946.
Good. That's what Campbell's Soups are. Good.
From Hollywood, the Campbell Soup Show, starring Jack Carson.
And then you're on.
Guest list of Jack Carson, Freddie Martin and his orchestra, Arthur Treacher, Jack's nephew Tugwell, played by Dave Willock, little 8-year-old Norma Jean Nilsson, Irene Ryan, and yours truly, Del Sharman. Say, maybe you haven't tried Campbell's beef noodle soup, but you surely ought to right away. As soon as you get a whiff of it, you'll know there's good eating ahead. But dip in your spoon and get the full-flavored beef taste of the hearty broth. Good. Homey egg noodles, too, steeped in the taste of beef, and lots of generous-sized pieces of beef. Yes, ma'am, here's one of Campbell's newer soups that you sure don't want to miss. In fact, once the family taste it, they'll be asking you to have Campbell's beef noodle soup often. So let them have it soon, won't you? Time now to look in at 22 North Hollywood Lane and see what's happening to Jack Carson.
When was it that my studio called, Treacher?
About half an hour ago, sir. They said that due to the fact that they're behind on their shooting schedule, you'll have to work on Thanksgiving Day.
Work? Yes. Sure, I hate to work on a holiday, but... Well, maybe they know what's best.
Oh, Uncle Jack, what do you let him push you around like that for? Are you afraid you might lose your job?
Well, no, but...
You're a big important star out there. You ought to threaten to quit.
Quit?
Sure. If you're not there, who's going to be their romantic lead?
Well, yeah, that's right.
And who's going to play those big dramatic parts?
Yeah, that's right.
And who's going to Simonize Mr. Warner's car?
That was only the first year of my contract. I could call them up and tell them I didn't feel well, but they'd never believe that. I'm such a perfect specimen of manhood. I guess I'd better show up there tomorrow.
Well, gee, Uncle Jack, if you're not here, it won't even seem like Thanksgiving.
I think I have a good suggestion, sir. What's wrong with having our Thanksgiving dinner today?
Say, that is a swell idea, Treacher. We can be thankful today as well as tomorrow.
Yeah, well, we have turkey and everything the same as usual.
Oh, sure, sure. Treacher, will you need anything from the store?
No, sir, I have most everything. I stocked up in anticipation of the holiday. However, we will need a bird.
Oh, of course, naturally, yes. Come on, Tugwell, we'll go down to the butcher shop and see about getting a turkey.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, let's go out the back way, huh? I want to see how Dennis, my rooster, is getting along.
Yeah, he sure likes that coop you built for him.
Yeah. There he is over there eating some corn. Here, Dennis. Ah, he certainly knows his name. I'm glad I thought of calling him Dennis after my friend Dennis Morgan. Look how he struts when he hears his name. This is the smartest rooster I ever saw. He walks like Dennis Morgan, and he acts like Dennis Morgan. I wonder if I could teach him to sing like Dennis Morgan.
Well, from the squawks I've heard out of that rooster, it'd be easier to teach him to sing like you.
Very funny, Tugwell. Come here, Dennis. Now, stop eating that corn. I want to show Tugwell how bright you are. Now, listen. One alone. Listen, Dennis, listen. One alone. Did you hear that, Tugwell?
Gee, he did it.
Sure, I'll try some more. This would be... a magic world to me if you were mine. If you were mine.
Eat some corn, Uncle Jack.
Well, anyway, he's a very intelligent bird. We must remember to buy him some chicken feed while we're shopping.
Uncle Jack, we're not going in this butcher shop, are we? We were in here 2 weeks ago, and the prices were sky high.
Yes, yes, I know, but I thought they might have some Thanksgiving specials. Let's go in.
Well, gee, this doesn't even look like a butcher shop. Look how high class everything is.
Yeah. It's the first time I ever saw a chopping block trimmed in mink. Here comes the same salesman we had before.
How do you do? My name is Finley. Oh, hello there. I remember you.
Yes, I was just doing a little Thanksgiving shopping.
Fine. Now, if you'll just be seated,
Hey, look what's stopping out in front. An armored car.
Oh, yes, pardon me. This is an important occasion.
Gee, and they got two guards with machine guns.
Yeah, and they're throwing a red carpet across the sidewalk.
And look, here come two guys in gold braid with trumpets.
Please, gentlemen, stand at attention and remove your hats.
What was that all about?
That was Swift and Company delivering a half pound of weenies.
Oh, I see.
Now, if you gentlemen will be seated on this love seat with the zebra stripes, I'll show you our merchandise.
Well, what I had in mind...
I can see that you'd only be interested in the better things, but I have something I'm sure you'd love. Here. 12 pieces of Canadian bacon arranged in an exquisite necklace design. And in the front are 2 pieces of liverwurst entwined in a lover's knot. Aren't they just gorgeous?
Yes, yes, they are, especially on that chinchilla platter.
But I can see that you're still not pleased.
Well, no. By the way, Mr. Finley... What is it that you have displayed over there with the spotlight shining on it?
Oh, you mean in the platinum showcase?
Yes.
Of course, you've heard of the Hope Diamond?
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, that is the famous Moskowitz salami. It was smuggled out of Russia. And if they knew we had it, would Molotov be sore at Bern?
Well, Well, Mr. Finley, we wanted something for Thanksgiving.
Of course. How about that little roast pig over there with the apple in its mouth?
Oh, yes, yes, that roast pig with the apple. How much is that?
$47.
$47?
Yes, of course, the pig is extra.
Look, I know I'm a fool for asking this, but how much would it cost for a turkey?
Well, how much were you thinking of spending?
$2.50.
$2.50?
Yes, yes. What can I get for that?
Do you see that little giblet lying there on the counter?
Yes.
Well, as you walk by, we'll let you feel it.
Come on, Thugwell.
Yeah, this place is too rich for our blood.
And that's just the way it was at every market I went to, Treacher. Turkeys are just too expensive.
Well, we must have some sort of a fowl, sir. It won't be Thanksgiving without one.
Well, we could have a substitute, like we did that year when things were tough. Remember those things I fixed up? They looked exactly like turkey legs.
Yes, but they didn't taste like turkey legs. After all, sir, enchiladas with feathers on them.
Well, if you close your eyes, you can hardly tell the difference.
Mr. Carson, I have the cranberry sauce and dressing all fixed. We've just got to have a bird to roast. A nice, fat one. Mr. Carson...
Preacher, the answer is no. I'm saving Dennis for my poultry business. Besides, I just happen to think Miss Ryan down at the bookstore has a friend who raises chickens. You know, the one we bought Dennis from, that Mrs. Jenkins? I've lost her address, but I'll go down there pretty soon. I'm sure that Miss Ryan can tell me exactly. Come in.
Hello, Mr. Teacher. Hello, Mr. Carson.
Hello, little one.
How are you, Norma Jean?
Fine. Gee, whatever that is you're cooking sure smells good.
Yeah, that's dressing. You see, we're having our Thanksgiving dinner one day early. Would you like to come over and eat with us?
Are you going to do the cooking?
Some of it, yes. We'll have roast turkey with all the fixings, and that's one dish that I'm expert on.
Well, I wouldn't say you were such an expert, sir, from the way you did it last year. It took you 3 hours to put the stuffing in the turkey.
Well, that wasn't my fault. The turkey had a very small throat. Besides, every time I got a spoonful ready, she backed away from me.
I told you that wasn't the correct way to do it,
Treacher,
sir.
Treacher, please. Where I come from, we know all there is to know about cooking.
That reminds me, Mr. Carson. Last week, you were telling me the story of the first Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes, that's right. I was, wasn't I?
Well, according to my history book, what you told me about the Pilgrims is wrong.
Well, I told you they landed on Plymouth Rock.
But Plymouth Rock is in Massachusetts, not Milwaukee.
Oh. Oh, are you sure it's in Massachusetts?
Yes.
Well, since the Republicans got in, they probably moved it.
And my teacher said you must have made up that story you told me about Pocahontas.
Well, I'll explain that to you some other time.
What did he tell you about Pocahontas?
Well...
Mr. Carson said the Pocahontas had a date with Miles Standish every night.
Yes, that's right.
He used to paddle her canoe up the Milwaukee River and meet him in back of his brewery.
Miles Standish had a brewery?
That's what the history books don't tell you. His full name was Miles Standish Schlitz.
My teacher about that. I'll bet she doesn't know it.
I'll bet she doesn't either.
All right, honey, try to come over tonight if you can, huh?
Oh, I'll be here. Goodbye.
Treacher, you keep right on preparing the dinner. I'm sure Miss Ryan's friend can spare a bird for us. I'm going down to see her right now.
Very well, sir. Cheerio.
Cheerio. Thanksgiving. Boy, I'm glad I'm living. Oh, hello, Del. What are you doing over this way?
Hi, Jack. I was just looking over your fence and admiring that rooster of yours. Are you fattening him up for Thanksgiving?
Huh? Oh, no. No, not that rooster, Del, but we are going to have chicken. I was just going down to Miss Ryan's to see about it.
Well, Jack, I'm walking that way. I'll walk along with you.
Good.
Say, you know, Jack, it ought to be a great Thanksgiving this year. People have a lot to be thankful for.
Yes, they certainly have, Del.
Just think, back in the old days, if the Pilgrims wanted a turkey, they had to go out and shoot it with a bow and arrow. But nowadays, there's plenty of meat.
Yeah. All you have to do is shoot the butcher with a bow and arrow. By the way, Del, what are you having for dinner on Thanksgiving?
Oh, the usual thing, turkey and stuff like that.
Yes, I know, but what are you starting the meal with?
Oh, just a word of thanks.
I know this can't last. What I mean is, what's the very first thing you'll have with a meal? You know, it starts with C.
Oh, sure. Celery.
<Yeah. laughs> Well, I think you'd better say something about you-know-what, or we'll both have our Thanksgiving dinner you-know-where.
Why, Jack, what are you trying to say anyway?
Well, when I said, how are you going to start your meal, I thought you would say, with Campbell's beef noodle soup.
Well, naturally, we're going to start off with Campbell's beef noodle, but there's no reason to mention it.
There isn't?
No. Everybody knows that Campbell's beef noodle soup is an unbeatable invitation to any meal.
Oh, pardon me, all the pieces.
You know, I don't understand you, Jack. You think that all I ever talked about was soup.
Well, isn't it?
Well, no. There are lots of things in the world besides Campbell's soup.
Tell what you said!
Well, for example, this is a beautiful afternoon. Well, just look up there at those beautiful clouds in the sky. What a pretty formation.
Mm-hmm.
Why, they're delicious. They look almost good enough to eat.
Here it comes.
Yep, they sure are beautiful clouds.
Huh? Oh, Del, forgive me. I misjudged you. I thought you were going to say that so many clouds reminded you of the many generous-sized pieces of good lean beef that Campbell's use in their beef noodle soup.
You did?
Yeah.
That's silly.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Well, even though Campbell's do put lots of tender pieces of beef in their noodle soup, the clouds wouldn't remind me of that.
They wouldn't?
No. But with the sun shining on them, those clouds do remind me of the golden egg noodles.
It's no use. You can't win.
Yes, Campbell's beef noodle soup is thick with homey egg noodles. And wait till you get a whiff of that good beef aroma. You'll say, good, and you'll come back for more.
Uh-huh. Well, Del, I turn off right here. I'll see you later. Huh?
Okay, Jack, I hope you get that chicken you're going after.
So do I. So long.
A moment now with the magic music of Freddie Martin. Here are the Martin Men, and My Heart Goes Crazy.
Sounded like a skip in the record there for a minute.
That could happen.
You got me. And some of you might be old enough to remember what that means.
Yeah, that was Alan Reed in there. Yep.
Hi.
And we haven't got
so.
That Irene Ryan yet. Yep.
Yeah.
To me, this sounds like the first radio show with canned laughter. I'm not sure.
No, I think it was a live audience there. I believe.
Then it was forced laughter.
Yeah, probably.
I haven't heard a joke yet.
There was a laugh sign right there. Said lit up.
There,
laugh,
that was laugh.
Laugh
or die.
Laugh
or
die.
Die.
At least it's free choice.
I don't know.
You have a choice.
I think their writers need writers. I think that's
people say
brutal.
The same thing about my show. Yeah.
Brutal.
I am a brutal ghoul. I admit it. I
Brutal critic.
The holidays bring it out in me.
That's good.
Something about going to Walmart on Black Friday.
On Black Friday. Thinking it was a Monday.
Yep. Thinking it was a whole other day, a whole other universe, and where am I? Walmart on a Black Friday. What's going on in my life? I don't know.
All's well that ends well.
Yeah, I did count. I do have all my fingers and toes. didn't check my tail, but he had a tail.
But was it a prehensile tail? That's the question.
It was. What other kind is there? I think everybody that doesn't have a prehensile tail, they're fibbing. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
But
you can just do so much more with a prehensile tail.
You can. You can juggle. I mean, you know, you can carry groceries. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
That's great. Everyone should have one.
At least one.
Yes. good show here, Jack Carson. Yeah.
Yes, I am absolutely unfamiliar, Dave. You really rang one out of the bushes with this one.
Yeah, so when we send it back to the bushes, well, we have to finish it before we send it back.
Well, yeah, once we're done, it definitely needs to go back in the bushes.
Wow.
So we're gonna hear about throttling chickens in a few minutes. So we'll find out what that's all about, I guess. Time to throttle your chicken. What? No. What?
Yeah.
Not that chicken. You
throttling.
Guys.
I thought maybe it was code. I don't know.
No, it's not. They're gonna kill a chicken.
We're not pre-code here, Dale. We're not pre-code here.
Okay, good thing.
Yeah, no.
All that being said, why not return before I really stick my foot in it to Thanksgiving
dinner? Time to throttle that chicken. There you go.
Right, I'll just sit here by myself and throttle that chicken as we wrap up Jack Carson show.
I just wanted Dale to say that.
Yeah, I hope Miss Ryan is in a store. She's got the address of that Mrs. Jenkins who raises chickens.
Oh, hello there, Mr. Carson.
Hello, Miss Ryan. Say, I lost the address of that woman who has the chickens for sale.
Oh, you mean Mrs. Jenkins?
Mm-hmm.
She lives at 445 Maple Street.
445 Maple. Thank you, Miss Ryan.
Is that all you wanted to know?
Yes. Thank you, Miss Ryan.
Don't you want to know how I feel?
How you feel?
Yes. A woman could be ready to die and nobody would ask her how she felt.
Oh, I am sorry. How are you feeling, Miss Ryan?
Oh, I guess I'm about as well as could be expected.
Well, that's good. Or is it? I mean, I don't know.
No, it isn't. I just seem to be cold all the time.
Yes, well, I've got to go over and see about getting a chicken.
It all began about a week ago. I started shivering and shaking all the time.
Yes. Well, I've got to go over...
I went to 6 doctors, but they didn't do me any good. I was still cold.
Still cold, huh? Well, I've got to go over and see about getting a chicken.
Then I went to another doctor, and he found out what was causing this. Now I'm not cold anymore.
What did he give you? Give you some pills?
No. A suit of long underwear.
That's good. Now you're warm and everything is fine, huh?
No, it isn't. Now I've got the itch.
Yes. Well, I've got to go over and see about getting
it. Of course, I could stand that, but it seems like I'm tired all the time. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got to go over and see about getting
I bet I climb those stairs to the balcony 30 times a day, up and down, down and up and down.
Well, I've got to go over and see about getting
down and up and up and down.
Well, I've got to go over and see about getting
A woman came in yesterday and wanted to buy some potted plants. And they're up on the balcony.
Potted plants are on the balcony, huh? Well, I've got to go over and see about...
I brought down a geranium, but she didn't like it. She wanted to know if I had a trailing arbutus. I told her if she climbed those stairs as many times as I did...
Yes, yes. I've got to go over and see with Mrs. Jenkins about a chicken for Thanksgiving. See you later, Miss Ryan. When I got to Mrs. Jenkins' Street, she didn't have one chicken left. They were all sold.
Getting late, Mr. Carson. If you procrastinate any longer, there won't be any dinner.
Yeah, Uncle Jack, I'm getting hungry.
All right, so am I, but what are we going to do?
There's only one thing to do, sir. There's that rooster of yours out in the backyard.
You mean Dennis? You mean eat Dennis?
Certainly, sir. Since you purchased him, he's been nothing but a liability. A dollar a pound for feed, he doesn't lay eggs.
You see, I know all of that. Well, maybe you're right. I hate to sacrifice him, though.
Oh, so there's no use being soft-hearted about it?
Soft-hearted? Who's soft-hearted? I'll go out there right now and stand there while you kill him.
Oh, no, sir. You bought the rooster and you finish him off.
Sure, don't be a sissy, Uncle Jack. Here's the hatchet. It's all sharpened.
Hatchet? Gee, we don't have to kill him that way, do we?
Well, sure. How else?
Well, it's so deliberate. If he has to die, I'd like him to think it was accidental. Maybe I could get him to try to cross Sunset Boulevard.
Uncle Jack, you're just stalling.
Yes, sir. Now take the hatchet and go out there and get it over
with. All right. I'm going. Don't push me, fellas. Oh, there he is. I'll hold the hatchet in back of me. No use getting him all upset. Here, Dennis. He's staying away from me. Here, Dennis. Come on over here and see what Uncle Jack has got for you. Gee, I feel like a criminal. Why don't I have to name him after Dennis Morgan anyway? This is like bumping off my best friend.
Bark, bark, bark.
Oh, gee. Gee, he even remembered one alone. No, don't look at me with those blue eyes, Dennis. Why didn't I name him Humphrey? Would have been a pleasure then. Oh, here he comes now. That's a good rooster. Now, look, Dennis. I want to talk to you, man to man.
Rock?
Yes. Look, I've got some bad news for you, and I hope it won't come as a shock. Did your father ever tell you about the facts of life? You know, about chestnut dressing and pressure cookers? I wish he'd stop looking at me.
Rock, 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 rock.
Yeah, well, I don't know how to say this, but Dennis, you're going on a long trip. You're going to Rooster Heaven. That's right, Heaven. You have led a clean life, haven't you? You'll be happy there. The barnyards are lined with gold, and there's harp music and chicken every Sunday. Oh, no! No, I didn't mean that, Dennis. Now, come on over here, Dennis. Just put your head down on this piece of wood like that and quit looking at me. Oh, gee, trust me like a mother. Gosh, I can't do this so suddenly. It, it,
it seems so heartless. Somebody ought to say a few words or something. I'd...
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here to pray.
I just can't go through with it, that's all. Dennis, you're more than a rooster to me. I can't do it.
Hey, what's taking you so long, Uncle Jack? Haven't you chopped his head off yet?
No, and I'm not going to do it either.
Well, then take him down and let the butcher do it.
Oh, no, I can't. Wait a minute. That does give me an idea, though. I could take Dennis down alive and trade him for a chicken that's already dressed. That way I won't feel so guilty. Come on, Dennis. We're going out of the butcher shop right now. So, will that be okay with you, mister?
Sure. If you want to trade that live rooster for a dressed chicken, it's all right with me. Here's a fat hen all ready to cook.
Okay. Goodbye, Dennis. Oh, mister.
Yeah?
You won't hurt him, will you?
No, I don't hurt him. I just take him by the neck and me two hands and...
You mean...
Yeah, it's all over in a second.
Oh, I'm a criminal. I'm a low-down, black-hearted skunk. I shouldn't be allowed to stay in the same world with decent roosters. Goodbye, Dennis.
Well, sir, shall I begin preparing this hen you brought home? Mr. Carson, I said, shall I begin preparing this hen you brought home?
I just don't care.
See, Uncle Jack, was that butcher you took Dennis to a real tough guy?
Oh, yes. Absolutely, without any feeling whatsoever.
I'm not hungry now. I've lost my appetite.
I never thought I'd feel this way, sir, but I missed the little fellow, too.
Preacher, please, let's just not discuss it any longer, shall we?
He never did anybody any harm. He didn't deserve to die.
Oh, Treacher, please.
When I think how he used to take the corn right out of my hand. He was so innocent and trusting.
Treacher, you're crying into the dressing.
Yes, sir, but it needs a little salt.
Right about now, I'll bet that butcher's got Dennis stretched out on the chopping block.
Chop? Tugwell, please.
Yeah, he'll lop his head off.
Tugwell, please.
And just when you were teaching him to sing One Alone.
Yes, and he sang it just like Dennis Morgan does. Flat.
Yeah. And now he's going to have his throat cut.
Oh, I can't stand it any longer. Preacher, give me my hat. I'm going back to the butcher and see if I can get Dennis back. Oh, I hope I'm not too late.
So do I, sir. Hurry, sir. Hurry.
Well, if this isn't the traditional thing to have for Thanksgiving dinner, but they aren't bad with cranberry sauce on them.
Yeah, they're pretty good flapjacks.
I don't mind, sir. Somehow I like it better this way.
Yes, so do I. Would you like another flapjack, Norma Jean?
Yes, I'd like one.
Okay, there you are. How about you, Tugwell?
Sure, I'll have another.
Okay, there. And, Treacher?
Yes, sir, I could eat another.
Okay. How about you? Would you like a little more syrup on yours?
It's a good day for singing a song, and it's a good day for moving along. Yes, it's a good day. How could anything go wrong? A good day from morning till night.
Yes, it's a good day for shining your shoes, and it's a good day for losing the blues. Everything to gain nothing to lose, 'cause it's a good day from morning till night.
I said to the sun, good morning, sun, rise and shine today.
You know you've gotta get going if you're gonna make a showing.
And you know you've got the right of way.
'Cause it's a good day for paying your bills.
And it's a good day for curing your ills.
So take a deep breath and throw away your pills.
'Cause it's a good day.
Yes, it's a good day.
Yes, it's a good day from morning till night.
Jack Carson will be back in just a moment. Tell me, have you tried Campbell's Beef Noodle Soup? Everyone who has says it's delicious, and you will too. It's made from plenty of lean beef, simmered long and slowly for a hearty, full-flavored beef stock. Then golden egg noodles are added, and lots of generous pieces of beef. Mmm, good. Yes, and Campbell's Beef Noodle Soup is plenty hearty and nourishing, too. You'll find that together with a sandwich and a glass of milk, it makes a grand school day lunch for the youngsters. And wait till you see Dad smile at supper time when he dips into a savory plateful and gets that good beef taste. You'll find there'll be lots of times when meal getting is a simple, easy business with Campbell's Beef Noodle Soup on hand. Remember to put it on your market list and keep it on your shelf. That's Campbell's Beef Noodle Soup.
Good. That's what Campbell's soups are.
This is CBS, Columbia Broadcasting System.
Yay, there you go with the Jack Carson Show. I don't know. Yeah. Do we get morals? Do we get morals with comedy shows?
Not with comedies, no.
Typically or, not. But,
I have
that
one
on the
here.
Barbie.
Yeah, let's do it anyway.
Okay, I got one.
Oh, Dave's got one.
I got one.
Fine. It's Siri House proudly resents. Even though we didn't even know a few moments ago. Regardless, moral of the story with Gar right here. It's weird.
Yes, apologies to Brother Gar. don't count your chickens before you hatchet them. There you go.
Oh, wow. Yeah, hey.
Goodbye, chicken.
Roll it again, Dale. We got one more.
Eeny, meeny, chili beeny, the spirits are about to speak.
Took the long way around. Eerie House proudly resents an actual Gar's moral of the story. Bar.
If you're looking for a turkey in a chicken coop, you're lost.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
Hey, what do you say we go to Burns and Ella next, Dale? I'm trying to think if we've played any full shows from them. We played a lot of clips, but I don't know if we've.
Yeah.
I think one Christmas show. One Christmas show we played.
We may have done one full one. We're going to do one now with George and Gracie.
There it is.
Yeah. And it was originally broadcast.
November 11th. November 18th, 1940. Boy, blame.
I agree.
From Hollywood, the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show for Hormel and Spam.
Spam, rebop, boom, spam. George Burns and Gracie Allen are the show where there's orchestra. The singing glee with a smooth East Street. Last but not least, and with Bud Heaston.
Spam, 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 spam.
Question, friends, and it will pay you to know the answer. Ready for the question? All right. What is an easy way to serve the family a swell main course for dinner that costs but a few cents? There's no magic about it. Just open a can of Spam, S-P-A-M, and bake according to the simple directions on the label. Takes only a jiffy, and you'll set before the family a delicious taste surprise that satisfies even the huskiest appetite. That's because Spam is grand-tasting meat, and baked, it certainly makes a hit. The perfect combination of juicy pork shoulder and ham meat, originated by Hormel, gives Spam extra flavor, extra goodness. Try a Spam bake for dinner tomorrow. Just be sure you ask your food dealer for S-P-A-M Spam. Of our big happy family, George and Gracie.
Thank you very, very much. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, George, where's Gracie?
She's not here. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
George, can you do a show without Gracie?
Certainly I can do a show without her. Do you think I need Gracie?
Certainly, Bud. He needs Gracie about as much as Dorothy L'Amour needs a sarong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Well, listen, I happen to have a lot of talent, and... Well, I'll answer you later. Hello?
This is Spam's Meathouse. Gracie Allen speaking.
Gracie, where are you? We're doing a broadcast, and you're supposed to be here.
I couldn't get down on account of my granddaddy's very sick. He was on the floor all last night, and we're awfully worried.
He was on the floor?
Yes.
What about the bed?
Well, we couldn't use that. We had a party here last night. Where could we put the hats and coats?
Well... Gracie, where's your granddaddy now?
He's down in the kitchen with a temperature of 105, and we're all.
He has a temperature of 105?
Yes, and we're...
Well, why'd you get him in the kitchen?
Well, he's defrosting the icebox.
Your granddaddy's in the Frigidaire?
For 7 hours.
Well, aren't you afraid he'll freeze?
Oh, that's impossible. Every hour, we open the Frigidaire and ask him if he's cold. He doesn't answer.
Look, Gracie, we're doing a broadcast.
Really? What station? I must listen in.
Well, never mind. That's a smart idea, putting a man with a temperature in a Frigidaire. I suppose to cure him, they'll put an ice pack on his head and a hot water bottle on his feet.
Oh, George, all they need to use is a can of Spam.
Can of Spam?
Sure, cold or hot, it hits
the
spot.
Hits the spot, oh, yes. But you're a regular Dr. Kildare. Look, everybody, not that I need Gracie, but I think we ought to go over to Gracie's house and do the broadcast. Might make an old man happy.
Well, if it's going to make you happy, George, let's go.
Oh. Quiet.
Bueno, podemos hacer una cosa. Yo tengo un carro nuevo. Si quieren, yo puedo.
Yes, guitar player, I know. What is it, Senor Lee?
Why don't you drive down in my car? I just got a brand new rooster.
A rooster?
Si, senor. A car made by General Mothers.
It's not General Mothers, it's General Motors.
Oh.
A mother is, well, for example, when you were a baby, who combed your hair?
That's what I'd like to know. The part isn't straight.
Well, quiet. Come on, everybody. We got to get to Gracie's house. Oh, well. Here we are at Gracie's house. I'll ring the doorbell.
George, you better knock on the door. The bell doesn't work.
Well... This is the house, all right.
Oh, hello, George. When did you get here?
Well, I give up.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Gracie, do you know that you're not all there?
I know. I just had my tonsils removed.
Tonsils removed? That annoys me. That's all I've got.
Say, Gracie, what's the matter with your granddaddy?
Oh, he doesn't take care of himself. He inhales cigars.
Well, what's wrong with it?
Well, most people just inhale the smoke.
Look, Gracie. Gracie, you'll have to excuse me if I run away just before the broadcast is over. You see, I've got a date with a little redhead, and she won't wait.
Well.
A redhead? Say, Poopsie, how do you get all these gals?
Well, why shouldn't he? George is a good dancer. He's a swell dresser. He's romantic, spends lots of money. Continue on next page.
Artie, don't read that part.
Well, come on, everybody.
Gracie, what is this? You've got barbed wire on the banisters?
Well, you know, my granddaddy likes to slide down the banisters.
Oh, I see, and that stops him.
No, it doesn't stop him, but it slows him down a bit.
I think I know what you mean. It is.
It isn't.
It is.
It isn't.
It is.
No, it isn't.
Who are they?
Oh, they've been living here for over a year.
Well, who are they?
I don't know.
Chrissy, you know, this house is filled with imbeciles.
Well, I better tell Granddaddy you're all here.
Well, never mind that. We better start the broadcast.
What's tonight's program about, George?
It's about Thanksgiving.
What's that?
What's that? Look, Gracie, as far back as you can remember, what always happened in November?
Roosevelt was elected.
Well, I'll try to explain it to you.
All right.
You see, in 1620, the first Americans arrived in a new land to make a fresh start.
Uh-huh.
They decided to build homes. And do you know one of the first things they did?
They applied for FHA loans.
FHA loans didn't come until 300 years later.
Well, you've got to go through a lot of red tape before you get the money.
Anyway, these people were called Puritans.
What's that?
What's that? Didn't you ever read of those people who suffered and were punished in stocks?
Oh, in 1929, some of my best friends were Puritans.
Well, anyway, these people were so grateful for finding a freedom in a new country that they killed a turkey and called it Thanksgiving.
Oh, what a cute name for a turkey.
And the custom still remains. Even today, we chop the heads off turkeys.
How can you knock off all their heads at once?
A turkey only has one head.
Then where do all the necks come from? Last year, my sister got a neck, my brother got a neck, my uncle got a neck.
Oh, well, this is the end.
That's the part my daddy got.
Look, Smoothies, Bab, Charlie, and Little, will you sing a song while I try to explain to Gracie what Thanksgiving is? Please.
Honky-tonky village in Texas. There's a guy who plays the best piano by far. He can play a piano anywhere that you like it. But the style he likes the best is ain't in the bar. When he plays disco ball, he's the daddy of them all. The people gather around when he gets on stand. And when he plays, he gets a hand. The rhythm he beats puts the cat in a trance. Nobody's there while the street dance. But when he jams with the bass and guitar, they holler, "Feed me, daddy, get to the bar." Plink, 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 plink,
seen a house like this. People walking around and nobody knowing them. And this furniture. What kind of furniture is this?
Well, it comes from the Hollywood Furniture Company.
Yeah, but what about the period?
Oh, pardon me. It comes from the Hollywood Furniture Company, period.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Oh, say, Gracie, where's your kitchen? I want to get a Spamware.
Oh, Bud, we haven't got any Spam in the Frigidaire.
No Spam in the Frigidaire?
Not in the Frigidaire. Spam doesn't need any refrigeration.
Oh, shucks. I forgot. I'll hate myself in the morning.
Oh! Oh! No! Oh! Okay. What's that?
That's my granddaddy. He's sliding down the banister.
He's sliding down a barbed wire banister?
Well, he does it 20 times a day, and the doctor told him to stop.
Well, I imagine he would.
Sure. It's bad for his heart.
Well, I hope the kid makes a three-point landing.
It is.
It isn't?
It is.
It isn't.
It is.
It isn't.
Gracie, these fellas have been living in your house for over a year, and you don't know who they are?
That's right.
Well, why don't you ask them?
I don't talk to strangers.
Well, this is some house.
George, I better go and find Granddaddy and give him his medicine. You see, he hasn't got a nurse anymore.
Oh, he had a nurse, huh?
Yes. And the only way he'd take his medicine was when the nurse would kiss him after every teaspoonful. It was awful stuff.
Bitter, huh?
No, he hasn't any teeth.
Well, let's get this over with. All right, let's find your granddaddy and give him this medicine. Boy, what a house. I've never seen... Hey, sound man. 4 years in Harvard. Why are you sitting out in the hall all by yourself, sulking?
A big Harvard-Yale game this year, and I won't be there.
Well, why don't you go?
Not after the sad experience I had last year. There I was at the stadium. It was the last quarter. The score was nothing to nothing. Just as Yale was making a touchdown, somebody stuck a gun in my back and held me up.
Well, there were millions of people there. Why didn't you yell?
What? And have them think I was rooting for Yale?
Well, come on, Gracie.
Hey, George. George. When you meet this little red-headed girl tonight, why don't you take her to the Follies Bergère? It's a swell show.
Ah, those girly shows are all the same, Arnie. Take away their feathers and their little umbrellas, and what have you got?
High blood pressure.
Oh, quiet.
Well, here's Granddaddy's room.
Well, look, Gracie, before we all go in, what's the matter with your granddaddy?
Well, we really don't know. In the middle of the night, we heard strange noises, and we ran into Granddaddy's room, and there he was shaking all over.
He was shaking all over?
Yes.
Well, what did you do?
What did we do? We sent for a doctor.
Well, what did the doctor do?
Well, he took the Madame Lazanga record off the troll, and we all went back to sleep again.
Kid has probably got rheumatism.
Hiya, Grace.
Hiya, oh. Grandpa.
What's the matter, Grandpa? Don't you feel well?
No, Georgie boy. Say, hand me that picture of Hedy Lamarr in a sleeping tablet.
Well, I can't find Hedy Lamarr's picture. Do you want this one of Ann Sheridan?
No, I'm saving her until I feel better. Yahoo!
Well, wait, Grandpa. Look in this closet.
It is.
It isn't.
It is.
It isn't.
I can't say. Gracie, can somebody else in your family give him the medicine? I've got a date with a little redhead.
Well, my mother's at her sewing club, and my daddy went downtown to vote, and my
your
brother...
Your daddy went downtown to vote?
Yes, and my brother...
The election was over 2 weeks ago.
I know, but my daddy's a Republican, and he never gives up.
Listen, Gracie, try to understand this. I've got a date with a girl.
Senor Burns,
I can't stand this.
Senor Burns, look out. Don't get excited. You'll break a blood weasel.
Well, don't worry about me. And besides, you said that wrong.
Oh, pardon me. Don't get excited. You'll break a blood weasel.
Well, that's much better.
Hey, buddy boy.
What is it, Granddaddy?
Buddy boy, would you mind reaching in that coat pocket and getting me a cigar?
Oh, what coat, Grandpa?
The one George is wearing.
There aren't any cigars in my pocket.
You mean you didn't get anything with that suit?
That was a pretty good one, Corny.
Oh, quiet. Even if I did have a cigar, if I did get a cigar with it, why should I give it to you? You're the tightest old man I ever met. You never gave anybody anything.
Oh, Judge, you shouldn't say that to my granddaddy when he's so sick. He gave you something.
When did he ever give me something?
Tonight.
What did he give me?
The measles.
The measles?
Ooh.
Whoopsie, that's part one of George Burns and Gracie Allen on Thanksgiving.
Gracie was so blasted talented, I tell you.
She was. She was the brains of the operation. And that's not for comedic effect. That's true, isn't it, Dave?
I don't know. She was the talent. He was actually signing in all the writing and approved everything. I think George really was the brains of it, but she was so much more talented than George was. He had a whole new career when she retired. And he said, for my whole life, all I did was say, so Gracie, did you get a letter from your mother? You know, and next thing you know, the end of the show's over.
Yeah. Yeah, because she'd go on and on.
He did prove himself later on.
Every funny person needs a straight person to bounce off of.
Well, absolutely. Yes. He was a good straight person. And he was the one that figured out how to do the TV show. He would talk to people thinking he knew what was going on. Of course, with Gracie, you never really could tell what was going to happen, even though he thought he knew. And everybody was against him breaking that third wall, talking to the people at home. And he said, mm-hmm. No, I know this will work. And it, by God, it did. It was the show was in many ways better than their radio show, and I enjoyed the radio show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen the TV show, and it's just absolutely hilarious. Breaking of the fourth wall is funnier than. Now, I don't think everybody could do that. I think that it took a certain person that was able to do that. But I mean, if you saw other people do it, it wouldn't have the same effect. He really had the timing to do it and everything.
Yeah. So yeah, he was truly George was the brains behind it, and he was a writer himself. I mean, he wrote a few books. A love letter to mm-hmm. Gracie, a love story, was absolutely wonderful, hilarious, and emotional book. But he was, technically, he would be the producer because he was in charge of all the writers if they didn't say. And it was an interesting way I thought, too. He said, you know, basically, you looked at your ratings, your Hooper ratings every week, and if you... would go down a point, go down and get beat pretty bad one week. He said, you know, they had a special guest or they had a special program or something. That's no big deal. It's when you go down a point, then maybe the next week 2 points, then 3 points, then maybe 1 point. Like when you consistently start losing points, it's time to evaluate what your show is doing and make changes.
Mm-hmm. I just recently saw an interview with David Letterman and Stephen Colbert, and in that, Dave was talking about a conversation he had with Johnny Carson, and I believe it was Johnny Carson. And the it basically went like this: you know, you're gonna have a bad show, but that's okay because you can come back the next night and a brand new opportunity.
Right.
And for these folks, if they didn't come back the next night, they would come back the next week, and it's all fresh, a whole new opportunity to recoup if they need to.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Kind of like us.
Except we not
never
everything is gold. Yes, exactly.
We never get better. That's the problem, you know?
Yeah, that's why.
But we never get worse. We're still here. You know, hey.
Well, it's true. We don't get worse, but we never get better.
Yeah. Nor should
it's called treading water. That's okay.
Yes. Nor should we get better.
Yeah. Well, we set a benchmark and done it if we stayed there. So there you go.
There you go. Stay right where we are at. Now, I think we do a fair job. In fact, let's be fair to Burns and Allen and let them finish their show. We'll be back after our T&D.
Now, Artie Shaw, his clarinet, and his boys will give us Sugar.
What if your granddaddy had the measles? He shouldn't have kept it a secret.
He didn't. He's been spreading it all around.
Why do they ever go into this crazy house?
Well, Gracie, what's that?
She's practicing up in the attic.
Who's practicing?
My grandmother.
Your grandmother? Gracie, will you tell your grandmother to stop? We can't continue talking if she's going to make all that noise upstairs. But this is the craziest house. Listen to that. Beat, 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 beat. Meat, eat, eat, meat.
I say there, lady, when a shopping you go, here's some news that you should know. Help me out, George. I've gone this far.
I'll beat it out, Bud. A to the bar. Spam is the meat that you should buy. Spam is different, and here is why.
We use pork shoulder to make Spam sweet, and the ham it takes for extra good meat.
The extra good flavor that you get in Spam got there, folks, because we added ham.
Hormel started this new kind of meat, seasoned it better, made it grand to eat.
I say, Senor Burns, serve Spam for lunch. This delicious meat is good to crunch.
Look, Senor Lee, it's crunch, not crunch.
Crunch, crunch.
Crunch, crunch.
You buy it all the time if you try it once.
To get the real thing to put on your table, look for this sentence on the Spam can label.
Pork shoulder meat with ham meat added. Proof that Spam is really different. My, 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 that doesn't fit.
Yeah, that's right, Gracie. That's the worst one yet.
Nothing is just like Spam, my friend.
And so with this, our poem ends. When a shopping you'd go tomorrow, ma'am,
ask for S-P-A-M Spam.
Slice it, dice it, fry it, bake it, cold or hot.
Look, George, if there's a possibility of your having the measles, I wouldn't keep that date with that redhead.
Well, don't worry about me, Artie. I'm going out right now and get myself inoculated.
Well, why do it tonight? Why don't you wait until New Year's Eve?
Look, Gracie, inoculation prevents sickness. You see, millions of germs can live on the head of a pin.
How can they eat that stuff?
They use a knife and fork.
Oh!
Well, I'm going to get out of this house before it's too late.
There, mister. Where do you think you're going?
I'm going out, officer. Why?
Oh, no, you're not. Nobody leaves this house. It's quarantined.
But I'm George Burns. I haven't got anything.
I've heard you on the air, brother, and you ain't kidding.
Let me tell you something.
Get back in there.
Well, this is a fine thing. And I've got myself...
Oh, look who's there. Hello, George. Are you back from your date already? Did you meet that girl? Did you kiss her?
Gracie, I was stopped by a cop.
Oh, that's what always happens in those park cars.
I knew you'd understand me.
Once I was in a park car with the freshest fella, and you know what he said to me?
Will you be reasonable?
That's what he said to me.
Oh, stop.
That's what I said to him.
Gracie, I didn't even get out of the door. There's a cop outside. He says your house is quarantined.
He's crazy. It's Ducko.
Well, never mind. I'll see you later. I've got to keep this date. I wonder where this door leads to. Oh, wrong door. Isn't that silly? The broom closet.
Oh, look who's here. Hello, George. When did you get back? Did you have a nice time with the redhead?
Gracie, I was in the broom closet.
Oh, her husband came home, huh?
Look, I'm trying to get out of this house of yours.
Well, I've got an idea. Let's do what they do in the movies. Now, I'll tie this bed sheet around you and let you out of the window.
Say, that's not a bad idea. Here, put it on me right
oh,
here.
Oh, then I'll tie this end to the bed. All right. All ready, George. Climb out of the window.
Well, here I go. Ouch! Gracie! Gracie!
What?
What part of the bed did you tie it to?
The pillow!
The pillow!
Hey, you Burns, I told you the place was quarantined. Now get back in that house.
Oh.
Well, look who's here. Hello, George. Are you back from the date already? Did you have a nice time for the redhead?
See, I almost killed myself. I just went through that window.
Oh, her husband came home again, huh?
You know, you could use another ounce of brain.
Not me. I'm overweight now.
No matter where I go, that cop is there. I wish he'd stick to his beat.
Stick to his what?
Beat. Beat.
Meat. Meat. Spam is the meat that,
that you should eat. The spam
is,
I know that. I know. You should try. I know that, bud. We've done it before. This poetry is going from bad to verse.
Oh.
It's just a little slip. Look at me. I'm filthy. How can I get washed up?
Just keep on telling those jokes, brother.
Gracie, where's the washroom?
Right down the hall. You can't miss it. It's the one with the gasoline pump in front of it.
Gasoline pump?
Sure. My grandmother's a tourist, and we like to make her feel at home.
Well, I'll go in there and get cleaned up. It is.
It isn't.
It is.
It isn't.
It is. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. All you guys have been doing is arguing. What are you arguing about?
I claim this Thursday is the real Thanksgiving, and Joe says it isn't.
Well, it is.
It is.
It is.
Oh,
it is.
Still. Gracie, I've got to get out of here.
Well, George, why don't you go up on the roof and slide down the drain peep, and then when you get to the yard...
The drain peep?
Yeah, when you get to the yard...
The drain peep?
Oh, pardon me. I was out at Senor Lee last night.
Oh. Keep on going out with him, and you won't be able to speak English.
Senor Burns, when you say that, smile.
Smile?
Yes. S-M-E-L-L. Smile.
That smell.
You're perfect.
Oh, please, everything happens to me. Here, I've got a date with a girl. I'm all messed up. I scrape my nose. Huh. What a pickle.
Looks more like a banana.
Oh, yeah? Well, my face happens to be all right. Doesn't bother me.
Maybe that's on account of your standing behind it.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I've just got to get out of here.
Mr. Burns.
What does it sound like?
Just look at this goldfish bowl. It's a rhapsody in glass. It's made of pure quartz silicate.
Time like this, he's got to impress me with his education. There must be some way out.
Say, sound man, what happened to the goldfish that were in that bowl? Answer me, what did you do with those goldfish?
Forgive me, Miss Ellen, I couldn't help it. Once a Harvard man, always a Harvard man.
Well, there must be some way out of here.
Say, sound man, I don't mind your eating the goldfish, but Tom Harmon is going to get pretty angry.
Why, Tom Harmon is that great Michigan football player.
Well, it's also the name of our cat.
You call your cat Tom Harmon?
Well, yeah, that's on account of every time he gets loose, he makes 10 yards.
Hey, wait a minute. Why didn't I think of this before? Gracie, where's the chimney?
Oh, right there.
Well, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
I'm going up the chimney.
What a guy will go through for a woman.
Well, here it is. I'm out. There's the blue sky.
Blue sky, nothing. That's my uniform, you see. Get back in there.
Oh!
Well, look who's here. Hello, George. You're back
quiet,
in the day.
Quiet,
Will some one person in every family listening tonight do us just one more small favor? All we want to
sure.
ask is that you remind Mother to get a can of Spam when she goes shopping tomorrow. You'll be doing a bigger favor for yourself because Spam is absolutely the most popular new meat item in a generation. Once you taste Spam's tempting flavor, its tender, meaty goodness, you'll want to serve Spam often. Spam is so easy to prepare. Try it tomorrow. Use the simple recipes on the label. Ask your food dealer for S-P-A-M Spam. Join the thousands who say, whenever the occasion calls for delicious meat at our house, we serve Spam.
Well, but I'm certainly in a fine mess.
Oh, George, I just found out my granddaddy hasn't got the measles.
Well, good. Now I can go and meet my little redhead.
Oh, yeah, then you can say hello to my granddaddy because he went there, too.
Good night, all.
Again next week, same time, same station, for another Burns and Allen show with Artie Shaw and his orchestra and the Smoothies. Until then, this is Bud Heaston reminding you to remember that cold or hot, Spam hits the spot. Have you tried Hormel Chili Con Carne? Even those who think they don't like chili do like Chili Con Carne the way Hormel makes it because it's different and everybody likes it. Double your money back if you don't like it. Try Hormel Chili Con Carne tomorrow. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Spam, 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 spam. Wonderful spam, spam. Spamity spam. Spam, 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 spam.
I have a moral if you want to toss it up there.
Spam, 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 spam. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
The problem with rheumatism, it's mostly hot air.
There you go.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
Oh, come on. That wasn't that bad. Yeah.
I finally remember where you would know Jack Carson from.
The Jack Carson Show.
He was in an episode of The Twilight Zone called The Whole Truth, where he was a car dealer forced to tell the truth. Artie Johnson was also in that.
Oh, that was him. Okay.
Jack Carson.
Yeah.
I saw him sporting a goatee chin hair, and I thought, well, all right. That was the most recognizable, but I couldn't place where he was acting in, but he had a goatee.
No
mustache, just a goatee.
That might have been for a particular movie, but he was pretty much clean shaven throughout most of his career.
Yeah, this was later in his career where he wasn't selling cars.
Okay.
Yep. Didn't he end up selling it to Khrushchev? I don't know.
I think it was. It was someone like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or a pastiche of Khrushchev. Yep.
Yes.
Yes, sir. If Mark DeWidziak was here, he could tell us for sure. But anyway, that was a lot of fun. And a little more comedy for you as we go down south a bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm getting nervous.
And down to Arkansas. Isn't this out of Arkansas there?
I believe it is.
I believe. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Arkansas.
Only state in the union with a silent Q and two teeth.
Silent T's.
Yeah, you gotta watch
out
for those silent T's because you can trip all over those things.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yep, we can't have that, but we can have Lum and Abner. Let's go ahead and start with part one, originally broadcast.
November 21, 1948.
AD.
427. Yeah.
Or 27. 26. 48. Height.
Granny's Abner, I believe that's our ring.
Aw.
Frigidaire presents the new Lum and Abner Show. Tonight, Frigidaire, a division of General Motors, brings you a brand new kind of visit with those old characters down in Pine Ridge. Featuring Clarence Hartzell as Ben Withers, the music of Felix Mills, and starring your old favorites, Lum and Abner. America's number one refrigerator is Frigidaire. Yes, any way you look at it, America's number one refrigerator is Frigidaire. Number one in popularity. For more Frigidaire refrigerators serve in more American homes, than any other make. Number one in thrilling new advantages, as you can see for yourself at any Frigidaire dealers. And number one in dependability. For Frigidaire refrigerators are made only by General Motors. And this association of experience with experience, of skill with skill, is your guarantee of lasting satisfaction. So when it comes to a new refrigerator for your home, remember this. The first name you think of is the right one to buy. Frigidaire, America's number one refrigerator. As we look in on the little community of Pine Ridge today, we find the old fellows in their jot-em-down store. Lum is talking on the telephone. Listen.
Well, this sure is a pleasant surprise, Miss Rowini. Why, sure, Miss Rowini.
Why, sure, Miss Rowini.
Oh, but yes, Miss Rowini.
Oh, but beans, Miss Rowini.
Oh, that'll be just wonderful, Miss Rowini.
Oh, Lord, me.
I'll yes, Mom. Goodbye. Hi, Granny Zabner, guess who that was?
Grover Cleveland.
Now, you recollect that cousin of Ezra C. Strunk's that was here one time before?
Sure, I know who you mean. Are you done talking to her now?
Yeah, sure, why?
Well, take the receiver out of your pocket and hang it up there.
How'd that get in there?
Lum, why don't you stay away from her? The other time she's here, you got to bragging on yourself and just got yourself in trouble, and you'll do the same thing again.
I will not. She just got in town, and she's dropping over here to invite me to take Thanksgiving dinner with her.
Why? Did she mention it?
No.
Did she talk about eating?
No.
Did she bring up the word Thanksgiving?
Well, no.
Lom, if you do go over, I'd suggest you pack yourself a little lunch.
Oh, she'll invite me, don't you worry. I'll work the conversation around to where she will.
Yeah, but Thanksgiving will be over by then.
Wait a minute. There she comes across the street now.
Oh, look at that walk.
Abner, you go back in the feed room or any place. You sort of warp my personality.
It was pretty well bent when I first met you.
Now, hurry up, Abner, and don't sit back there and listen.
Oh, I wouldn't think of it.
Now, listen here, you little snoop.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, excuse me, Miss Rowini.
Oh, Mr. Edwards. Oh, but it's delightful to see you again. But delightful.
Oh, I'm delightful, too. But too.
Oh, it's so nice being in your quaint little village once more.
Oh, it's just quaint as all get out. Special round Thanksgiving time with folks inviting one another to dinner.
Well, now that you mention it, Mr. Edwards, I was thinking of inviting you over to the Sea Trunks' for Thanksgiving dinner, but I don't know where I could get any domestics.
Oh, well, turkey's plenty good enough for me.
Oh, I'm referring to servants.
Well, turkey's good enough for them, too.
But I am speaking of the servant problem, Mr. Edwards. You know how one suffers from that nowadays.
Oh, does one? I suffer something stupendous from it.
Of course, if I'd had any sense, I would have brought my chef along with me. The French make by far the best ones, don't you think?
Oh, by far. I had him make one up for me the other day.
Oh, do you have one? What's his name?
Who?
Why, your French cook.
Huh? Oh, him. Why, French, let's see. I call him Mademoiselle Alphonse.
Isn't that a rather odd name for him?
Well, he's a foreigner, you know.
Oh, yes.
What time is this Thanksgiving dinner going to be?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not used to entertaining in so small a place as the Sea Trunks is. My home in London, Ohio... It wasn't elaborate, but it was adequate. 20 rooms and a solarium. What size place do you have, Mr. Edwards?
Oh, it ain't much. Just a little 30-room mansion. But it's home to me.
Do you have a solarium?
No, I never cared much for swimming. What time did you say for dinner?
Oh, I don't know. I'm so handicapped here. Do you realize that I don't even have an upstairs maid?
That ain't nothing. He ain't even got an upstairs.
Why, who said that?
Nobody. That was just the wind. Ooh. Now, about this Thanksgiving dinner, I'd love to have you over to my place, but I ain't got half enough servants to run the mansion right now, and I wouldn't feel right asking you to come over there and rough it.
Oh, but I'd love that, Mr. Edwards. What time will it be?
Well, Miss Rowena, you see...
Oh, do make it for 7. And thank you so much, you dear sweet boy. But dear sweet...
Miss Rowena... Oh, me. All right, Edward, you shut up.
I never said a word, you dear sweet boy.
Now, shut that out.
How's everything around the mansion?
I told you not to listen, you little leaves droop.
I don't. You got the only clapboard mansion I ever heard of.
All right, Abner.
Where'd all them servants you're asleep? On that one horsehair sofa?
All right, so I exaggerated a little.
Oh, I don't know. Man, is the time I saw that French cook of yours standing over a hot solarium. Biling up a mess of coon and collard.
Abner, don't you realize the jam I'm in? Here I've got to put on a Thanksgiving dinner in a mansion, which I ain't got, with some servants, which I ain't got. This calls for brains.
Which you ain't got.
Thanksgiving ain't but a few days off.
Yeah, I doubt if you could build a mansion by then. Not even with Alphonse helping you.
Oh, I might as well forget the whole thing. Or to keep my big mouth shut.
Amen, brother.
Even if I did have a nice place, I don't know where I'd get any servants. Or, wait a minute. Abner?
Oh, no, you don't.
Now,
no,
listen,
sir.
Abner.
No, now, listen long.
Abner.
No.
I ain't asked you anything yet.
Long, in the first place, I can't cook. In the second place, I can't talk French. In the third place, I wouldn't do it in the first place.
All right, then you can be my English butler.
No. I'm going to be eating at home that day with my own little family, and they couldn't get along without me. Bless their hearts. Bless their little hearts.
Abner, you'll be all done at your place by the time I'll need you.
No.
Well, that takes care of my butler. Now, who can I get for... Wait a minute. There comes Ben Withers. I wonder if he can cook.
Hi,
Grannies. Come on in here, Ben, old boy. Just a feller I want to see. Can you talk French, Ben?
Well, I'm if you want to learn to speak French, the man you want is Cicero Gundel.
Who's he?
Yes.
Look, Ben, all I'm interested in is getting a French cook.
I see. And you want to know how to converse with him in his native tongue.
No, Ben, I don't...
Fine. Cicero... Cicero Gundel, Mount Ida resident, made an exhaustive study of the French language immediately after the First World War. He wanted to learn the meaning of the words of Mademoiselle from Armature.
Yeah, well, Ben, I don't...
At the end of 5 years of concentrated study, he discovered that the song was written in English.
Well, why couldn't he have told that in the first place?
Cicero Gundel is an Armenian. Now, the only trouble as I see it, Lum, before Cicero can teach you French, you'll have to learn Armenian.
Ben, I told you I don't want to learn no language. I'm just trying to arrange for a Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, well, the place you want to go then is Tom and Minnie's restaurant.
But, Ben, I don't...
The finest short order house in Mount Ida. Tom and Minnie's. It's run by a man named Tom and his wife. Her name is Irene.
Irene? Well, who's Minnie?
Fine. On Thanksgiving Day, you can get a chicken fried steak there cut in the shape of a turkey wing. Perhaps you've eaten there, Lum.
No, I ain't.
Maybe you hit it in 1937. That was the year it was closed up by the Board of Health.
Ben, all I'm trying to do is put on this dinner for Ezra Seastrunk's cousin, Miss Rowena. But I need a batch of servants to do it. Now, Abner here has been assigned to the butler job.
I never said I'd sign nothing.
And I thought maybe you could be my French chef, Ben.
Oh, thank you very highly, Lum. But I've been invited over to the Walt Bates's for dinner that day. That is, if they don't go out of town.
Wait a minute. Is there a chance the Bates's is going to be gone on Thanksgiving?
Doggies, Lum, that would be the place for you to sneak into. It ain't exactly a 30-room mansion, but it's the biggest house in town.
Oh, I wouldn't think of such a thing. Hardly. Yeah, call them up and see if they're sure enough going to leave, Ed.
Yeah, all right, sure.
But don't let on why you want to know for her. Hello? Walt Bates speaking.
Say, Walt, this is Abner Peabody.
Oh, just a minute, Abner. I'm talking business with the feller here. Hold the phone a second.
Yeah, all right.
Well, that's the deal then, eh, Mr. Vyborg?
Yep. And if you folks are leaving tonight, I'll bring my crew in here first thing in the morning and spray this place from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. When we get done, there won't be a living bug of no kind left in the joint.
Well, good.
And if any new pests get in here, they're in for an awful surprise.
How soon can we get back in the house?
Well, I wouldn't come back till a few days after Thanksgiving. But if you do have to go in the house for any reason before that, whatever you do, don't light no matches. Blow you clean out of here. Now, remember, don't light no matches, see?
Don't worry. Don't worry. We won't, and I'll see you when we get back.
Right. So long.
Hello, Abner.
Say, Walt, I was just wondering if you're going to need some groceries for Thanksgiving.
No, we're going out of town. Going to debug the joint.
Oh, well, you'll enjoy it there. Have a nice Thanksgiving, and don't hurry back.
And they're sure enough going to be gone, huh?
Yeah, they're going to some place called the Bugler Joint.
The Bilk Junction, perhaps.
Well, something like that. Never heard of it.
Looks like I'm all set, then. We'll cook the dinner right over there in Walt's kitchen.
Yeah, and build up a nice fire in that big fireplace of his.
Yeah. Man.
Yes, and light some candles on the dinner table.
Oh, wait till Miss Rowena sees all that. I grannies, we're put on the biggest one blowout she's ever been in.
Don't expect no sympathy from me, Lum Edwards. If you think I'm going to help you with your Thanksgiving dinner, you got another thinker coming.
Hi, Mr. Edwards. It's Peabody. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, howdy, Mr. Niles. Yes, it is a happy Thanksgiving for some people.
Say, didn't I hear something about your needing help with your Thanksgiving dinner, Mr. Edwards? Well, I'm your man. I'm your man.
You are? Well, bless you, Mr. Niles, and bless Frigidaire for sending you here. Now, what about the turkey? Is that quite a problem?
No problem at all for anybody with a roomy new Frigidaire refrigerator. Just prepare your turkey a day or two ahead of Thanksgiving and keep it in your Frigidaire. There's still plenty of room for other holiday fixings.
Salad, hot biscuits maybe.
Well, salad the same way. Prepare it before you get busy with last-minute cooking. Keep it fresh and crisp in your Frigidaire refrigerator. And really smart cooks mix dough for hot breads or pastries ahead of time. Even roll it out and cut it. Then keep it safe in their Frigidaire refrigerators or Frigidaire home freezers.
Hmm.
And when I say safe, I really mean safe. For the Frigidaire is the only refrigerator with a meter miser. The simplest and most reliable cold-making mechanism ever built.
And can you bake a pumpkin pie, Billy boy, Billy boy?
Why, a Frigidaire electric range makes any holiday cooking a breeze. One model even has two ovens, so you can bake a pie in one while the turkey is roasting in the other. For lots of oven cooking, you don't even have to stay in the kitchen. The Cookmaster oven control turns the oven on and off all by itself. Oh, sure. Thanksgiving dinner's a cinch for anybody with a Frigidaire refrigerator and Frigidaire electric range.
Well, I'm sure glad you reminded me, Mr. Niles. By the way, what size head have you got?
What size head? Why, I wear a 7 1/8 hat, if that's what you mean, but what
for? For your chef's cap. Because if I can't find a real cook like you said, you are my man.
We'll be back. We will be finishing up, rather, with Lum and Abner in just a little bit. This one, Dave, I like. It's paced better than, you know, like, a lot of times it's not, like, uproariously funny, Lum and Abner.
Yeah.
But this one's pretty good.
Yeah, the whole thing changed when he went to the half-hour format, added the audience, added some writers. I think they did most of their own writing when they were in the 15 minutes. I've heard a couple of these, and the half-hour ones are well worth the time spent with him.
Again, yeah, just it's paced better. There's more. Sometimes the comedy didn't have it. It wasn't going anywhere in some of the other ones,
right?
You know,
exactly.
And this is this is good. This is well done. So, what do you think of your first listen to Lum and Abner so far, Gar?
This is the first taste I've ever had. I'm trying to figure it out.
Well, Lum and Abner own the Jot 'em Down store, and down in Pine Ridge, but not far from Mount Ida. And this is one of the reasons that Charlie Weaver shows up, and he's called Charlie Weaver in this particular show. Maybe not this episode, but this show. He's Charlie Weaver, the wild man from Mount Ida.
And are these real places in Arkansas?
I believe Pine Ridge is. I'm not sure about Mount Ida, but... and it might not be. Pine Ridge might not be. Is Pine Ridge a real place? Good question. Time for Mr. Google.
Mr. Google. See, if you run across a radio show or a television show in the 40s, 50s, 60s, if there actually is a real location they're tied to, that can endear some of the viewers to that going, oh, I know where that
it
is.
Could. Yeah, Pine Ridge, there is a Pine Ridge, but it is not in Arkansas. It is in South Dakota, which definitely is not where this show was placed. So,
yeah, that just doesn't sound like South Dakota.
Yeah. You could never do a Christmas show from South Dakota because you'd be going, do the whole thing.
True.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of jokes about how to wear your fur correctly or something.
Yeah.
Best thing about South Dakota
warm,
is leaving.
Yeah.
The best thing about
South
Dakota is leaving it.
Yes. There are jokes out there I've never been about how cold it is in the Dakotas.
It is cold in the Dakotas. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yes. I'll take your
word for
it.
That's the only thing
I
have against it. It's too damn cold.
Well, I don't know that civilization has dawned on that area yet either.
What?
Yeah,
I don't know.
There's still a lot of Indian territories there. Actually, Pine Ridge is a reservation in South Dakota, and it is the poorest location of the United States. And the home of Ogallala Lakota Nation. There you go.
Wow. Okay. Now we know. Yeah. I've heard in jest and joke just how cold it is.
Yeah.
But other than that, I know nothing about the Dakotas.
I mean, that's where, isn't that where the Mount Rushmore is? And I think Lincoln once said, get me a sweater, somebody. Come on.
Yeah.
All right.
Which creeped everyone out.
It did.
Yeah. Well,
because Lincoln always had the Shaws. He kept stealing from Mary, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
And Washington was draped in a flag, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. No. No, but let's go ahead and wrap up.
Let's do that.
With Lum and Abner's Thanksgiving dinner.
Could have a very explosive ending to the whole time.
Bad possum.
Doggies, Lum. The Bates has got a nice house here, but... don't it seem to you that it smells kind of peculiar in here?
Yeah, it does, but I think when we start the fire in the fireplace, that'll clear everything out of here.
You want me to light it now?
No, wait till Miss Rowena gets here. She'll get a big bang out of that. Adam, you better get into your buttle suit.
Lom, I ain't gonna wear that thing. Them britches is for a boy. They just come to my knees.
Well, that's where they're supposed to come.
And them socks are women's stockings. White cotton lisle, just like Elizabeth wears when she dresses up.
Now, Abner, stop fussing. Ben Withers is having to wear a worse get-up than you, and you don't hear him hollering.
Why? What have you done with him?
I ain't done nothing. Wait a minute. There he comes now. He's got it on.
Is that Ben? Oh, for the land, say.
I don't laugh at him, man.
Lum, I refuse to wear this costume. I am severing relations with you as of now, and that's retroactive from here on.
Ben, it's too late to back out now. Let's see. I'd better check on the vittles. Hey, Alphonse. Oh, Alphonse.
Yeah, let's see what he's got on. Come in here, Alphonse.
Mom?
Hey, wait a minute, Lum. Is Cedric Alphonse? I thought the Frigidaire fella was going to be.
No, he was, but I found out he couldn't talk French.
And Cedric can, I suppose. Cedric, let's hear you say something in French.
Oh.
What does that mean in English?
Seems to lose something in the translation.
Alphonse, how are you coming with your chef work?
Oh, fine. I've learned two French words already. Oi, oi.
Yeah, but have you got the dinner cooked?
Oh, was I supposed to do that, too?
Oh, for pity's sakes. Well, it's too late to cook it now. Yeah, you better just run down to Luke Spears' restaurant and buy everything ready-made. And hurry up, Alphonse, because Miss Rowena will be here before long. And Abner, get into your buttle duds.
I ain't going to do it now, Lon. I just plain flat ain't going to do it, and that is final. Lom, are the seams in my stocking straight?
Yeah, they look fine. Might pull them up a little more. Swan, your legs look like two ropes with knots tied in them.
Well, couldn't I just wear a pair of overalls, be sort of a country butler?
No, you're an English butler. Your name's Hawkins.
Abner Hawkins?
No, just Hawkins. And recollect that I'm a royalty. I'm a duke or a prince or maybe even an earl. I don't know.
Now, where did you get that idea?
Well, don't forget my name's Eddards. I go back to the King Eddardses of England, I think.
I wish you'd go back there right now.
So now be sure and call me the Earl and call Miss Rowena something high class like her ladyship or something that'll show her that I'm used to hobnobbing around with the castle crowd. Uh-oh. Hawkins?
Yes, your earlship.
I do believe our guest has a roving.
I'll get up and let her in.
That's your job.
I'll flip you to see who does it.
Now, listen, Hawkins. I'm a man of few words. When I crook my finger at you, that means come here.
Well, I'm a man of few words, too, and when I shake my head, that means I ain't coming.
Abner, for goodness sakes, get that door.
Oh, all right, I'm getting it. Oh, good evening, your high-class ladyship. Won't you pip-pip into the parlor, old bean?
I beg your pardon.
Tally-ho and Piccadilly.
Hawkins, just show the lady in and let it go at that, please.
Yeah, follow me, Duchess. Hey, Earl, look who's here.
Miss Rowena.
Mr. Edwards.
Prattle.
Oh, but you do have a lovely place here, but lovely.
Oh, it's all right to knock around in. Keeps me off the street.
Hawkins, I wonder if you'd mind doing something with my purse.
Hello, I don't know what to do with them. Little sheep dip wouldn't hurt them.
Hawkins, just take the lady's fur mackinaw and hang it up in the vestibule.
Yeah, I reckon that's the best thing to do, get it out of sight.
Righto, bean, tally-ho, and blimey.
You know, Mr. Edwards, your man has a rather peculiar accent.
Yes, it is peculiar.
What part of England is he from?
Oh, you know, here and there.
Is he an Essex man?
No, the only thing he's ever driven's a Saxon.
Mr. Edwards, what a lovely old fireplace you have. Might we have a fire in it?
Oh, but indeedy.
A little fire always livens up a holiday, don't you think?
Oh, indubious. Hawkins.
Did you buzz your earlship?
Yes. Hawkins, will you please touch a match to the logs?
It would be a pleasure indeed, sir.
Thank you, Hawkins.
Not at all, your earlship. Got a match on you, Duchess?
Beg your pardon, I...
Hawkins, find some matches yourself and hurry up.
While you're preparing the fire, I think I'll powder my nose. Do you have an upstairs maid?
Oh, but natural. Oh, Bernice.
Wayne.
Hawkins, will you please desist from that gruff horn? And Bernice, will you fetch Miss Rowena a powder puff?
Quite.
Never mind. I'll use my own. Is it all right if I smoke?
Yeah, sure. Go right ahead.
Do you happen to have a cigarette lighter?
Hawkins, have you found them matches yet?
I forgot about that.
Well, here I think I have a match.
That's fine, Bernice.
I'm sure I must have one in my pants pocket.
Bernie.
What? Oh, my stars, what's the matter with the cake?
Bernice, you better run out in the kitchen and help Alphonse dish up the victuals. I told him to garnish the plates with a stalk of celery. Now, see that he does it.
Why?
Hey, I found the matches. You want to fire up, Duchess?
Why, yes, thank you.
Hand over here.
Hey, dinner served. Oi, oi, come and get it.
Never mind, Hawkins. I'll have the cigarette later.
Yeah, all right, sure. Let's get in there. The grub's on.
Miss Rowena, would you care to walk into the dining room on my arm?
Oh.
I don't believe she can do it.
I do hope you've worked up a good appetite, Miss Rowena, because Alphonse has knocked himself out cooking up a batch of high-class French victuals.
I hope he has some canapés.
Yeah, I got a can of peas, a can of... can of hominy grit, there we go.
Hawkins, shut up. Miss Rowena, you sit over there, and I'll sit here.
Thank you.
Hey, wait a minute here. You ain't set a place for me and Bernice.
Of course not. You're the servants, you idiot.
Well, I'll be a polka-dotted possum. Right, doggies, if that ain't gratitude for you.
Hawkins, just mind your own business. I'm sorry, Miss Rowena. This servant problem of mine is getting worse all the time.
Yes, I can see that.
Well, let's dive in, Miss Rowena. Oh, Hawkins, come back here and light the candles. It's getting dark in here.
Yeah, all right. Don't know where I got strength enough to strike a match, though, as hungry as I am.
Mr. Edwards, I hate to bring this up, but my food seems to be all stuck to the plate.
That's peculiar. So is mine. That's them French cooks for you. Oh, Alphonse.
And if you'll pardon my saying so, it all smells like shellac.
Did you call me Monsieur?
No, because I can't get these matches to strike.
Yeah, I called you, Alphonse. Our victuals are stuck to the plate. And where's the celery stalks I told you to garnish the plates with?
Garnish?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. I thought you said varnish.
Well, this is dreadful, but positively dreadful.
Now, Miss Rowena, don't leave.
Oh, there must be one match in here to light.
Miss Rowena, please don't leave. I can explain this whole mess, and I may as well tell you the truth.
Yes?
You're going to hate me, but this ain't my house, and these ain't my servants. I ain't nothing at all, and I know you'll never speak to me again as long as you live, and I don't blame you.
Why, you dear, sweet boy, Going to all that trouble just for little old me. Oh, I think you're wonderful, but wonderful.
Huh?
Dad, blame these matches.
And to prove it, I am going to give you a great big kiss.
Oh, no, now, please.
Yes, yes, I'm going
Miss Rowena,
to
do don't.
Yes.
I don't, but here's one it likes.
Oh, Miss Rowena, Miss Rowena. Granny's Miss Rowan. Do that again.
Long and Abner will be back in just a moment. But first, here is an important question. When you're preparing Thanksgiving dinner, or any dinner, wouldn't you like to avoid last-minute rush by fixing some things ahead of time? It's extra easy with a Frigidaire home freezer. Stuff a turkey days ahead and keep it frozen. Store several pies, baked or unbaked. Freeze a supply of dough for hot breads. Everything's safe in a Frigidaire home freezer. It's powered by the Meter Miser.
How you feeling by now, hot lips?
Yeah, a little better, but Granny's Abner, when Walt Bates gets back and sees his house, he's going to hit the ceiling.
Hit the ceiling? He'll have to find it first.
The new Lum and Abner Show is brought to you each week by Frigidaire Division of General Motors. Manufacturers of a complete line of home appliances, air conditioners, and refrigeration equipment for American business. The script is written by Roz Rogers and Betty Boyle, with music by Felix Mills. So until next Sunday night, same time, same station, this is Wendell Niles saying good night for Frigidaire, America's number one refrigerator. And I'll stay tuned for Cabin B-13, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.
Thank you, Miles.
Columbia Broadcasting Center.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Hey, Dale, this is why it's so great having the live chat, as you always love. Good old Bob has given us all kinds of information on Pine Ridge, that it is real. And... Yes. Mena is called the county seat. He's got it. He's not far from where he lives, apparently.
There's even a John Down store.
A John Down store, that's right. Tourist destination. They sell tickets and tapes of Lum and Abner shows. There you go. They also did, the Lum and Abner also did a series of movies as well. So I think he did about, what, four or five movies. So... just the whole, they did the whole thing, radio, and I think they even did a pilot for television. Not sure it ever made it to television, but they did a pilot for television as well. So
until CBS canceled all the rural television programs.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, are we going to have a little moral for this one, Gar? You got a little something for us?
I got something. If you want to do it, yeah, we could.
We could. We can do it.
Geary House Radio proudly presents
Gar's Moral of the Comedy Story.
When putting on airs, a few words can dig your own grave. There you go.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Delayed reaction.
Every laugh. Every last moral of this program was right off the cuff because I did not know what we were going to listen to.
Very well done. And,
You
know,
well, that's why you pay me the big bucks, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you're worth every dollar.
There you go.
Just real. Oh, tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Tomorrow's drama, as Dave mentioned. We got family theater and let George do it. Tomorrow, 6:30. And since it's Thanksgiving, okay, I just want to mention what I'm thankful for. First of all, listeners and chatters, you know, without them, there's not much of a show. Thankful for Dave. Thankful for Gar. Thank you for our mystery woman, CW. But mostly for the listeners. And so that being said, I have a special outro tonight. Dave is gonna recognize this right away.
I'm sure I will.
Yes, you will.
I will.
It was a certain television host here locally who used to end this show a certain way, and that's kind of how I'm feeling right now, not to get all mushy, but
I hope you'll be all right. And if anybody calls, tell them Barnaby said hello. And tell them I think that you are the nicest person in the whole world. Just you.
That was his last show, Lynn Sheldon saying goodbye after doing Barnaby for like 20-odd years.
Yeah,
we'll see tomorrow at 6:30.
Castle lights are growing dim. There is no one left but me and him.
Him too.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Goodbye. I can try to do this. I'm cool. I'm good.
You dig it, baby.
Gobble, gobble. Gobble, 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 gobble.
We're out.
Mad chicken, mad turkey. How was your meatloaf, Dave?
Meatloaf was excellent. We had three of us, and we had enough for an army. So
I
don't have to ask what we're having for dinner or for lunch or anything like that for quite a while.
Yeah. And I forget, but I'm reminded. So, Dave, you have no turkey on Thanksgiving, only meatloaf.
We had meatloaf and mashed potatoes and gravy and corn and brownies and pumpkin pie and
And is this because there's a poultry allergy in the family?
No, this is because it's kind of a tradition. John Davison, who came over, one of our volunteers and friend, he's been coming over for about 13 years, and he loves my wife's meatloaf, so once a year she will make the special meatloaf. We'll have turkey and a honey-baked ham at Christmas time. A small turkey honey-baked ham we can get, so...
Okay, I got you. I was having a discussion with my producer about airing a commercial, and I'm going to wait until not this week, but next week to air it. It's someone that they have this turkey that's about the size that they are. This small woman is wrestling this turkey, and turkeys, once they're defeathered or whatever, They're kind of difficult to handle because they're very slippery. And so this woman grabs this bird with both hands, and it falls on the floor, and she picks up the bird, and she's trying to wrestle into the sink. And as she does this twist and spin, and the bird goes flying through the window, and it hits her husband, who's in the backyard, in the back of the head. And it takes him out. It's a funny little commercial, but my producer said, no. Said, we could have done it before Thanksgiving, but let's wait until after December, one is, and so I'm waiting. But a very funny commercial.
You've heard that before. It's hilarious, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. And I was like, we can't toss it up for this week. And he was like, no, wait, just wait. 1 week, just wait. And I was like, okay, all right, well, okay. We did a lot last week with there might have been a clip from WKRP. I don't remember. I know that there was one from Cheers with the food fight.
I don't think you had a clip from WKRP. If you did, I missed that one.
We avoided it. And then we had Dan Aykroyd as Julia's Child. Save the liver! We had that. And
I'm surprised you've never shown that Mr. Bean episode of Thanksgiving. Maybe it's Christmas.
And we did Friends where she puts the bird on her head and jiggles.
Yeah.
Mr. Bean does the same thing, I think. He puts the bird on his head.
Yeah, he did it before she did, yeah.
Well, then there's a nod to that, definitely.
Mr. Bean is awesome.
But last week was a lot of fun with so much bird activity. And we showed the giant claw.
Oh, I know. Is that perfect for Thanksgiving or what?
It was. And Dave, do you remember? I it's not in my brain. Do you remember what the pre-feature was, or did you see it?
The pre-feature. I'm trying to think. Oh, wasn't it the underdog episodes?
Underdog. That was it. Underdog.
Because Simon was going back to stop Thanksgiving
from
happening. He could cross the road during the parade, yeah.
Yes. And I did it in a very unusual way. Most of the time I have the pre-feature and then have the feature. This time I had the pre-feature, then the feature, then the pre-feature, then back and forth. And it all got done. So it was – I don't typically do it, but it was fun. So you have to kind of watch what's going on. And folks got a kick out of seeing Underdog, and I was like, well, there you go. I could not understand the air date because the air date was 1964 on a Thanksgiving, which was a Thursday. And I was like, but Underdog aired on, say, a Saturday. It was a Saturday morning, beginning of the Saturday morning cartoons back in the 60s. And someone said the reason for the date was it was the first time the Underdog float was shown in the Macy's parade. And so they had a special, and that was it.
There you go.
Crazy. How are you feeling there, Dale?
Oh, just lovely. Just lovely.
Oh, okay. Well, you were floating there for a little while.
Much better, if that's what you mean.
That's what he meant. Better.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah. Everybody has their own... what is that word? Not plot, ploy, direct. Everyone has their own things they have to deal with in life. And I know. I have your condition, but thankfully I don't have some of the stuff you have going on.
I just have these crashes once in a while. I guess if I don't eat enough after insulin.
Oh, after a shot?
Yeah.
Are they scheduled, like three times a day or something like that? Or?
No, two times. Once in the morning.
Two times, yeah.
And you got to do it before a meal.
Uh-huh.
Because then you're really going to have a problem if you don't eat something.
Right. Yeah. They have me on a pill.
It sucks.
They have me on a pill that I'm taking twice a day. Pill regimen. There's several pills, but it's
pill didn't work for me. That made me like crash. Oh man, my first time I crashed.
Yeah.
It was scary. It was scary as hell. I thought I was gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wife kind of figured it out. She goes, I think your sugar crashed. And she shoved a couple of Oreos in me.
Right.
So
I feel much better now.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, one of my best friends, I mean, brother, like, oh, this guy was, he was an artist friend of mine. We would both collaborate. We both worked on school newspaper, school yearbook, and did illustrations and stuff like that. And he was naturally born with the big D. And and he would have to do
one.
The insulin.
Type one.
Mm-hmm. And it took him out. It took him out early. It was unfortunate.
Oh, really? Oh, that's a shame.
He was. I want to say maybe 2 years younger than I was, and he passed maybe 4, 5, 7 years ago. I have no ability to understand time anymore. I don't know.
This crap is hard on your organs.
Yeah, yeah. I do what I can to stay above ground. I just got my exercise equipment all set. I exercise here at the house. I enjoy it. I could go to a gym, but I enjoy the solitude, and I can put on music or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
and,
hold on a second. Dave, are you there?
Yeah.
Dave? I think he said he got cut off. Let's try it again. Yeah. Dave?
So let me finish this little quick bit. So I was exercising, and I've got free weights, and I had 80 pounds on a bench press. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm bench pressing 10 times with three sets. So